Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. So the last podcast that we did on finances went down so well, but we wanted to put a more children's kind of, I guess, skew on it to kind of get some advice, some tips on how we can protect our children's future, how we can teach them about money and the value of money. So we thought, let's get an expert, someone who knows exactly what she's talking about on. Journalist at the Financial Times, co-founder at Hampers Personalized, author of brand new children's book. It's called Loose Change. Everyone needs to get it. And soon to be mama, it's Sonia Roch.
I feel like the last episode we did on finance, Zoe and I both said like, oh my gosh, we feel like really scared. And so this episode, because we're going to be talking all about how we talk to our children about finance, maybe that'll be on Zoe and I's level a bit more.
It is surprising how many people kind of feel like they're so nervous about their finances, even as adults. And it's normal because you're not taught about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then you start thinking, oh God, I haven't got, what's the thing that you're supposed to have when you're older? A pension. That's it. I haven't got a pension.
That's a good start.
I haven't saved X amount of my salary. I haven't got an ISA for my kids. It's quite overwhelming. So just kind of talk to us a little bit about your background and why you wrote your book, Loose Change.
Yeah, no, sure. So firstly, yeah, thanks for having me on. I think it's quite an interesting one because, obviously finances are so important. And like you said, you know, having a pension is so important that and people almost don't realize it. And I think it kind of stems from the fact that I feel like if I didn't kind of end up in this industry, I probably would have had no idea about what to do. And it's just, yeah. I'm just one of those people that has ended up in this industry, but I have a lot of friends that are from, you know, in completely different fields and have no idea about what to do with their money. And when you look back, you realize that it actually comes from a place of, if you haven't got parents, for example, that perhaps are in that industry or clued up on it, or you're in a position where maybe you've just not been taught it, which is the case for a lot of, you know, kids nowadays, why would you have an understanding of the fact that you should invest or inflation is going to kind of, you know, erode all the value of your money? Like you think, oh, I'm saving, it's great. But if that money is sitting in a pot and not having any interest on it,
yeah,
it's basically losing value without you doing anything at all. So that was kind of the kind of reason for the book. It was more specifically because I had a niece that, well, I have a niece that I was trying to buy a book for, and she's super smart, you know, really good with her maths. So I thought, oh, well, this is a good time to buy something that will teach her about money and, you know, kind of get her brain thinking in a different way. And I quickly realized that actually there isn't that much out there in the UK. There's a lot of US books that are, you know, based in dollars and out there that essentially teach you about money or savings or investment. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the UK. So it was an idea I kind of had on and off, but didn't really do. And then this year was sort of like, okay, I need to do it because if I don't do it now, before having a baby, I'm probably not going to get around to doing it for a while.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's what I'll do. And then that's kind of the inspiration behind sort of why the book came about.
Okay. I love that. Brilliant. And it's absolutely needed.
Yeah, it's absolutely needed. I mean, and just obviously people that haven't read the book, it's all around teaching our children about finances, how to talk to them. Give us a little more of an insight into what we can get from the book if we buy it.
Sure. Yeah. So the story itself is about a young girl named Tina who essentially visits the supermarket and chooses to spend her saved up pocket money on a toy. And it aims to kind of teach the concept of saving money and understanding the basic elements of it earning interest on money. So I've sort of tried to break it down. It's targeted at 6 to 11-year-olds, but I have had some feedback that, you know, like parents that have bought it for 4 to 5-year-olds have, you know, it's resonated with them too, or maybe they've needed a bit more explanation. But the idea is that it can be kind of just a storybook that you sit down and read with
love
your
that
kids.
I love it.
So it kind of introduces it more subtly rather than, hey, like, let's have a whole educational session on money. It's
just
a book concept. And it's been really nice, actually, because a lot of the feedback, some of the feedback that I've received have been like, oh, you know, my kids are asking, how can I open a bank account now? Or how can I do this? And so it's nice that it's actually getting kids thinking about it in an exciting way rather than almost like, oh, this is a chore, I don't want to learn.
Like a lesson.
Okay.
But we've actually had so many questions, like loads and loads. So should I just kick off with this one? And this, I can relate to this one because I was thinking it. Do you start teaching with coins, even though most people don't accept cash anymore? Because I just thought about that. Like, I'm sat in my, I was going to say in my husband's room, in my son's room right now. And if I go in his drawer,
the prince.
He's got like cash in his drawer, right? But he never spends it, mainly because he tries to get us to buy him things, but also because he can't. You can't spend it because no one accepts it. So what should we be doing?
So I think that was one of the things I think I was tackling with this book, because I was like, well, we're such a cashless society now that how do you teach a kid, you know, the way that we were taught was, you know, still having a money box and having, you know, coins to go in it and so forth. How do you then teach that to the next generation of children who thinks, you know, you've got this plastic card that is like magic and money is just inevitable on it, which obviously isn't. So, but I do think having the concept of having coins and cash and, you know, maybe a money box is great. And that's sort of how I've tried to tackle it in the book, where the girl sort of, Tina, saved up money in a money box and then goes and introduces the idea of having a bank account and depositing that money into an account. The kid will quite literally do that. So they understand this money is going somewhere, it's being stored, and I can access it via this card or this app, or, you know, so they see that happen as opposed to you just being like, you know, here, use my card, or me just paying, tap and pay. So I do think it's important for them to actually see the cash and feel the cash and, you know, see the money in their hand as opposed to just this thing that is behind kind of somewhere in the universe and they don't quite understand where it is. So that is a good way to do it. And obviously they don't have to actually spend the cash. They can put it in bank accounts. There are a lot of child friendly accounts that obviously you can open for your kids with the cash that they've got from grandparents or family members or pocket money.
Yeah. Do you know what? We have money boxes at home, actually, Sonia. I got them for the kids for Christmas, G, from Smiggles.
Yeah.
And one's like a Spider-Man one, the other one's like a bit more of a sort of fairy one. And they absolutely love it. And we went the other day to spend their Christmas money. And it's probably the first time that I've handed the power back over to them. They had £30 each from Christmas time. And Luna spent it all in one hit and bought two different toys and was like, and then Kit was like, hang on, if I spend £11 and we were working out today, then how much he would have left? And he was like, well, I'm going to go back to the supermarket two more times and get two more toys. We had this really beautiful conversation all around budgeting, which we'd never had before, which I was, he's only five. So he was very, very confused about the amounts, but we got there in the end and it was a great experiment to do. So I really rate money boxes. I think they're a good place to start.
Definitely. I feel like Axel needs a money box so that I don't keep going to the drawer when I need cash.
There you go. Pay the gardener. Yeah, pay for the shopping.
Yeah. Oh, who's got cash for the window cleaner? Axel has.
Sonia, should we be paying the kids to do household chores, or should they know that helping around the house should just be a given?
Yeah, so that's a question that I think a lot of parents probably struggle with. I think it's definitely something that should be just introduced naturally, but then maybe additional chores. So the way that I saw it was like, okay, maybe if they have like three chores that they do every week, and then if you do this bonus chore, you'll get, you know, an extra £2 of pocket money or whatever it may be. So if their job is, you know, to wipe the table down after dinner, it's like, well, if you also sweep the floor today, then you will get an extra £2. So then there's like a fine balance between, well, you have to help because you live here and that's just life, like, you know, you've kind of got to get used to doing work, but also having that additional thing or concept of, if you do this additional piece of work, you'll do it and you'll get a bit more money. And I think that part is where the interest element, like I've touched on it in the book, but that's the kind of interest of, oh, if you do this extra bit, you'll get this extra amount sort of thing, as opposed to just getting the bare minimum and always getting the same amount.
George, do you give the kids pocket money?
No, we've thought about it, and Axel has got a bank account. And we did think about it, but we just, to be honest, we just haven't got round to it. I think we couldn't really agree on like an amount. Like also Gigi's younger, so she wouldn't really get it yet. We will though. But actually someone has written in here, like, is pocket money earned? Like, should they have to earn it or do they just get it? That's kind of where we sit.
Yeah, really, like, I don't understand that either.
Yeah, I think that, again, it comes down to sort of, well, whether you're paying for the chores or you're kind of just saying that's something that you would already ordinarily do. Like, I grew up kind of getting pocket money from my parents, but it was like what I thought I was doing and being smart, which I guess in some ways I was. I thought they didn't know, but my dad would give me like £10 a week and he'd be like, this was always when I was a bit older, so I could use it at lunchtime if I wanted to like buy a snack or whatever. But then he said to me it was £10 a week for lunch pocket money, but actually what it was me just putting that in a money box and then asking my mom to help me make a packed lunch to take to school. So then I ended up building up all those £10, but I thought I was playing it really smart by saying to my dad, yeah, I need the money for lunch, but actually I'm taking lunch from home. So they were paying for it either way.
That's brilliant. Well done. Sneaky. Yeah.
I think they obviously knew I was doing that, but it was just a way of me saving money. So it was like, well, at least she's learning the concept of saving.
So do you do it? Do you do pocket money in your house?
Not really. Not every week. I mean, Isla's getting, I think Luna and Kit, 7 and 5, I think they're too young. To be honest with you, I don't really want them going out and buying stuff because it just, for me, is just consumerism and it's just more stuff every week coming into the house. And that's my job, not theirs. Yeah. You know, I'm the only one that's allowed boxes coming up to the door. No, I'm joking. I've got to stop. So I think maybe they're a bit too young for it. But for Isla, I think she is getting to that stage where, like, for example, in Ibiza, we were in the house, but we would say to her, like, if you do breakfast in the morning for the kids, we had another family and they had 2 kids, then, you know, it's a fiver. And she loved that responsibility and she would look after them in the house when we were just sleeping until like 11, and that was at, or 10 or whatever it was. And she absolutely loved that role because she can do it. And, you know, we're just upstairs if she needed us anyway. So that was fine. So things like that, yes. She's only a couple of years away from being able to babysit, right? Mm. I mean, at 13, I'd be comfortable with her being at home with them for a couple of hours and looking after them. So I do, and she's now starting to really understand the concept of money. Sonia, we did a project with Starling and they're a really great bank and they've got their Starling Kids Kite card. And we went to shops and they had, you know, she had a budget of £50 and she soon realized she wanted to spend all of her money at Zara. And suddenly she realized she could only get 2.5 items. And then she was like, but if I go to Primark, I get loads of items. So like it was an interesting realization. So I think she's probably at the stage, but in short, George, no, not officially, but we're just starting to introduce it for Isla now.
The thing we find difficult, I think, in our house is that, you know, it's like the difference between like needs and wants, but the needs still cost money.
Yeah.
Mm. And so like, for instance, my son's really into football. Okay. So he will train like, I don't know, quite a few times a week. With that, it means he needs Astros, studs, and you know, they wear out. You're using them all the time. So he gets them a lot, you know, he gets new boots quite regularly. But that does cost a lot of money, but it's a need. He needs that if he wants to do it. And so I try and explain to him, like, you know, Gigi's getting an LOL or whatever toy, but you've just had a pair of boots that are £100 or, you know, however much they are. They're just so expensive. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want him to have to save up for something that he needs for his hobby, but also I want him to understand that they don't just flow in, like, appear. All that stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same with like PE trainers or, you know, like all of the stuff that they do need, but it does still cost a lot of money. It's that balance, isn't it, of like, you have to have it, I understand, but it does still cost money and I want you to know that it still costs money.
Yeah.
How
That's
do you...
interesting. Balance that. Yeah. Like one parent that kind of messaged me on LinkedIn actually after like buying the book said that after they did the book, they had this conversation about needs versus wants with their kids and to kind of make them understand the value of money. And they actually said they wrote it down all the things that they need in a month. So whether that was, you know, football boots, or whether that was money for swimming, like in the locker, or whatever, like their snack after they went swimming, or things that I guess you want them to do as a parent,
but, yeah,
and they enjoy doing, but you don't, you also don't want them to think it's free, because then they'll just sort of feel very privileged to like, oh, well, you know, this is easy. My mom and dad buy this for me. And then they wrote down all the wants that they want, and they put prices next to it so that they could quite like clearly see on a like diagram how much it was costing them to do these things. And so that they would sort of have a sense of gratitude at the end. And I thought it was quite interesting that they sent me a picture of like what they'd done. And I was like, oh, that's really like really cool idea. And I did think like, oh, if I write more books, because I'm hoping for it to be part of a series, this could be like a handout type thing that you could have with the book so that parents can do it with their children and kind of understand a bit more about the needs versus the wants. And I think it is important for kids to understand that, you know, you get to the point where they're just sort of handed things, but they don't understand the value that, or the work that is.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. I think
it's such
really
a big
difficult one,
isn't it, George? The value of money is the one thing that me and my husband get so upset and riled about, because it's this feeling that it's just bank of mum and dad. Like if I lose, you know, with their stuff for school, for example, you know, where's that hat that I sent? Oh, I don't know. And I'm like, well, you should know, because that hat that I got from, you know, H&M, it cost me whatever it cost, you know, or whatever it's from. They just think, oh, it's all right. Well, I'll just get another one. And that, God, my kids aren't spoiled, but that is just the throwaway culture of, you know, oh yeah, well, it's fine, because, well, I'll just get, another one will appear from the fucking clothes fairy. That really, really annoys me, that sort of stuff. So we're really drilling down. I feel like a robot, and I'm really just on repeat in the house, like, take care of your things. Money doesn't grow on trees. You have to have understanding, but it's difficult. Like, is five too young to understand the value of money?
No. Well, so that's the really interesting thing, because when I was doing research before writing this book, I looked up, you know, what is the right age to have this conversation, because for a lot of parents it's like, well, that's too young, I don't want my kids thinking about money at, you know, 4 or 5 years old, they should just be having their childhood. But then if you leave it too late, their habits are kind of set in place, and you're like, well, where's the good time? And actually there's some research from Cambridge University that says that money habits are set by the age of 7, which is
wow,
like crazy to think, because you think 7-year-old, like that's so young.
Oh my
like
God.
To have to be talking about money, and that's actually all habits, but money habits and specifically is something that they looked into, and it was just bizarre to understand that it is at that young age. And that's sort of part of the reason that I tried to make the book for younger age demographic, going upwards, but also having it from 6 years old, so that kids can kind of understand from a younger age, you know, the value of money. And I think you know, the way that it's sort of important to do it is either having these conversations or having sort of interactive games, for example, where they sort of can understand. There are games out there. There's, you know, one called Save Your Acorns. And it's kind of quite useful because it teaches kids in a fun way about the value of money without them feeling like you're actually trying to teach them something, if that makes sense. Because it's like, I feel like if kids get to the point where they're like, I'm being taught something, they're just switching off because they think, oh, it's educational, I don't want to know. But if they feel like it's in a book or in a game or something that is more subtly introduced, they might actually get their brains thinking in a different way. But I do think it needs to be before the age of 7 or by the age of 7
even. Yeah,
interesting. Okay,
we'll be right back after this short break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
There's lots of questions about like bank accounts and stuff like that. And so there's one here that's like, are there any junior bank accounts for under 6-year-olds? Because to your point there, if, you know, you've created your money habits at 7, are there any bank accounts that kids younger than seven can actually have.
Santander do one, mini 1-2-3, I think it's called, and you can open that from a newborn, like from pretty much zero to whatever age. So you can obviously open that. And then the other one that I looked at quite a lot before Dinner Book was Go Henry, which is quite a good one because they have a lot of interactive stuff as well on their thing. But that one is, I think, from 6 years onwards. And the reason they've also done 6 years is because of this whole money habits are set by then. So you teach them around 6-7 years old, and then they can keep that bank account until 18.
Okay. Helen says, if you save into a junior ISA, they get full control at 18, I think, which feels terrifying. What if they go out and blow it all?
Yeah. I mean, it is a risk. So obviously junior ISA, you do have, you can open obviously from 0 years, like from newborn. So, which is great. And you can put about £9,000 a year, every year. And grandparents can also kind of contribute to that, which is a great way if you don't want to give cash and you don't want to kind of give them that power from a younger age. But yeah, it is something they do get access to at 18. So it is that risk. But you hope that in those 18 years, if you've kind of tried to do some form of financial education, that they won't get to the point of 18 and be like, I'm going to blow this all.
One night out.
This might be silly, but do you have to tell them it's there?
No, I don't think you do, actually. I'm not sure what the legalities are, but I don't think you actually do. But I think it's more if they know about it, then you essentially pass on access. I think you probably can't contribute to it past that point as a parent, because it's then
it's done. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because I guess if you just don't tell them that it's there, they don't know. They don't know how to access it. You could wait and tell them about it another time, like when they get a bit older. I don't know.
The only thing is there's rules around having multiple open. So if they were really financially savvy and smart and wanted to open another one, there would be kind of rules in terms of having multiple ones open. So if they opened their own adult ISA, for example, while they have the junior ISA, like there would be rules in place about how much they can contribute to each one and that kind of thing. So that's the only thing to caveat, like, which it could change, because these things, the government changing these rules like so often that by that point, like if your kid is quite young, by the time they're 18, the rules could be completely different. But it's just,
oh my God, if I had access to like one of those bank accounts at 18, I would have literally just gone out, bought a flight to Ibiza and never come back. That is basically what I did, actually. Hang on, thinking about it. That is exactly what I did. But I don't think it's funny, isn't it? Because we're obviously so aware of it now, George. And, you know, you and I hopefully have got our head screwed on about, you know, being financially independent and looking after our pennies and doing all that and saving. But like, we didn't necessarily have that upbringing, did we? Where that conversation was around. My parents tried to make me financially independent from a really young age and teach me about going out and getting my own job. At 14, I was working in a cafe at a garden centre and I knew about it. But every time I got hold of a bit of money, I would literally just spend it.
Also, I do think there's a question in here about like the whole guilt thing, and someone saying like, you know, I've had to go back to work full time and, you know, I'm so guilty and tired that I almost just buy things for my child to almost like combat the guilt. Like that sort of thing. And the thing is, we know that that sort of stuff isn't helpful, but I know exactly. Like, I feel like my parents did that, like, as well. Like, for sure they did. You know, like, they do it now. Like, maybe not so much from a guilty place. Not from a guilty place, but, like, last week my mum came to stay at our house, and she does see the kids quite a lot. It's not, like, a real special occasion. And she turns up to the house with like bags of stuff, and I'm like,
wow.
I mean, that's lovely, like really lovely. And you know how, you know, it's lovely that she wants to do that, but then my kids just expect it from her.
Yeah. And the one time she turns up without it, they'll be like, where's the bag?
What's happened to,
like,
nice granny? Exactly. We've had lots of questions. I know we've spoken about pocket money and chores and stuff, but Kaylee's messaged in about it. Jenny, what age should children have pocket money? Eve said, you know, should you pay kids for chores and stuff like that? I don't know if we actually settle what, you know, in your opinion, Sonia, age-wise, what sort of age are we talking about pocket money?
Pocket money is something probably that it 6-7 years old, like if you're giving them, like, even if it's something as small as like £1 or £2 a week, like just to be like teaching them the concept of saving, if you're trying to introduce that idea before 7 years old because of the fact that money habits are set so young, I personally think that's a really good time to introduce that concept. Whether you do it with chores or whether you do it just as a here's £2 a week, or, you know, maybe it's at the end of the week where it's like, well, if you've behaved, you know, you've behaved quite well this week, so you'll get the £2 pocket money. And if you had like X number of tantrums, like you won't. And one way that I think one parent said it was having like a tally chart, you know, in their kitchen of, you know, if they've had this many tantrums or they've misbehaved or whatever they've done, you have the good tally and the bad tally. And if the good outweighs the bad, then you'll get, you know, the pound at the end of the week. And if it doesn't, then you don't. And so that if you kind of basically, I know a lot of parents don't like the idea of just giving the money for no reason, and they want them to sort of work for it. But this is a good way to be like, okay, well, if you haven't behaved well, then you won't get it, basically. So it's still parenting and tackling the behavioral aspect, but giving them the pocket money just so they learn to save, really.
Because it's interesting around the chores stuff, isn't it? Because lots of people have sent in questions around that. And I know from what's going on in my house at the moment, I'm being quite a stick at the moment with clearing up the table after, you know, getting the kid, encouraging the kids to go downstairs and lay the table for breakfast, putting out the cutlery, you know, doing the water cups, all that kind of stuff, and then putting their stuff into the utility room where the dishwasher is. And I'm getting a bit of kickback from them. Like my big one, especially, she's not that happy about it. You know, I ask her to get water for the table and I'm going, and this morning she asked me to butter her toast. And I said, you want a phone, but you won't butter your own toast. Like, this is not a hotel. You've got to figure it out. And she's like really, really pushing back on it. So I don't want them to be like, oh, well, if I bring my plates into the utility room, mum's going to give me £2.
Because
I want them to do that anyway. Yeah. They have to do that.
So, like 100, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I don't get a pat on the back every time I load the dishwasher. Like, I don't. Like, I don't.
No one.
And, like, I think, yeah, I don't know what it is. I know the whole thing of, like, yes, them earning money, definitely. But I think at this age, it's really difficult to know what they earn it for. Like, but maybe it is. Maybe it's behaviour. Like, for instance, if someone does something good at school, they have this star of the week thing. If Gigi comes home with that, maybe then that's the way that we do it. Like, you get a couple of pounds or something. Do you know what? Yeah, I did. It was like, I set unrealistic goals, right? Which they're never, ever gonna do.
You evil genius. You.
So when it's like, I think it was August, and Axel, loads of his friends at school are getting PlayStation 5s, which are hundreds and hundreds of pounds. They're £500, something like that. And I was like, and he's like, oh, I don't have one. And I really want one. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I tell you what, like, you can have one. And he's like, can I? And I'm like, yeah, you can have one. When you show me you're responsible enough to have one. He's like, right, okay, yeah. So I wrote this list of things he had to do. It was like, make your bed every day, put your clothes away, like, put every dish from the table into the dishwasher. Basically, like, this huge list of things I knew, I absolutely knew he would never in a million years do. He did it for maybe 2 weeks and I was like, oh, shit. Like, oh God, he's actually doing it.
Backfired.
And then obviously it just tailed off. And I was like, oh, so you don't want to play PlayStation 5 anymore? He's like, nah, it's not worth it. And I was like,
brilliant.
Wait.
Well, at least he understood the value of it, like what he had
to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He understood that there was, to get something like that, it takes a lot. And he couldn't be asked to do all of that. And I thought, okay, cool, then that's fine. But he has continued to do a couple of the little things because he just got into the, you know, the routine of doing it, like getting his snack ready in the morning. So then I think, oh, maybe that's my tactic. Just set really unrealistic, you know, we all want something we know we're probably never going to have.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's
a really good way to do it, I think, because at least he's like turned around and actually accepted that it's not just easy money. Like, okay, fine, that for I guess most people, they're working 9 to 5 or doing a difficult job, and to earn the money to provide for that. And so he's obviously had to think, well, I'm gonna have to do all these things before I can even
for six months
afford that. Yeah, exactly. It's like, well,
six months.
I'm not that bad. 6 months is a long time.
It was, because well, it was August and it was Christmas that he would have got it for. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to happen. But yeah,
that's a great tactic to take away from this for sure.
Let's just finish on this last question. And it's, God, it couldn't be more relevant to my world at the moment. How do I get my child to understand my phone isn't a money tree? Tap, tap. That's from Sinead.
I think it goes back to that whole having, first of all, having cash and them actually feeling and seeing this concept of cash, because that was one of the biggest things that when writing the book, I had gone out basically with one of my friends and her son, and we'd gone to play golf, and he basically wanted to go into the photo booth to do one of those like photo strips. And
yep.
He came running up to his mum and he was like, mum, can I have that card? Can I have that card? And she was like, I was like, what card is he talking about? And she was like, he's talking about my bank card, because he just wants to. And he was like, can I just go and tap it and bring it back? And obviously in his head, he was thinking, this will get me what I want. This thing says I need £5 or whatever. What £5 was irrelevant to him. It was more, yeah. I can tap this and get exactly what I want. And I thought, oh my God, like if my kid came and did that, I'd be like, don't know what to do at this point. Like, how do you explain this? And that was part of the reason that I was like, has he got a money box? Like, have you given him any cash? Like, have you, even if it's not sort of pocket money, and you know, that's obviously clearly something people are umming and ahhing about. It is, they get money from grandparents, or they get money from in birthday cards and whatever it may be, from friends, family. They obviously have this money. So having that money aspect and then them physically going to a bank with you to put that money in a bank account, you know, or sitting with you while you open an account online or whatever it may be, them seeing that that money is going to be deposited somewhere is probably the easiest way for them to connect that the phone or the card is connected to this cash. I think that's why having a bank account is, I think, quite important from a young age. If you can allow for it, then that would be something really helpful.
And roll on the Saturday jobs, George. Roll yes, on the Saturday definitely. Jobs. I can't wait for that, because like, especially Isla, she will love. Imagine Isla being a little waitress in a cafe and like, you know, getting her own money at the end of the day. It's just cute. She'd just love it. So
yeah.
Let's get them out working. Good,
what age can they do that now? Is it still 13 or 14?
Like 14, I think. Yeah, I feel like it is. Yeah.
Love it. Right.
Not long to go. Sonia, thank you so much for coming on. What an absolute treat to chat to you. Really informative. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun talking to you guys. And I love loads of parenting tips myself, but like after the baby arrives.
Well, we've got a whole back catalogue of podcasts for you to listen to, Sonia, so knock yourself out.
Thanks so much.
I have been making my way through them.
Brilliant. Oh, lovely good. To chat.
Thanks. Thank see you later.
Thank you Bye. So much.
Like a super interesting conversation about how to educate our kids there on all of the financial side of things. I definitely think that's a conversation that I would have loved to have heard, you know, or at least my parents would have benefited from hearing when I was younger. Because there was, you know, even though, as I said before, and probably the same for you, money was kind of like, we talked about it, but there wasn't real education behind it. I didn't have a clue about saving any of it. I blew the fucking lot of it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also it's good, I think, as well, just to have that reminder, because I think in our day-to-day lives where we're so busy and we're almost like in survival mode, especially when you've got young kids, it's like, just keep the cogs turning, keep the cogs turning. It's actually really important to think about all of the things that we kind of need to teach our children and like give them a little insight into. And one of them, you know, is money. It's not just, you know, reading homework and, you know, making sure they've eaten their three meals a day. It is, you know, it is a really important thing to get them into and just get them into good habits, I think, from a young age. Yeah, I found it interesting that, you know, kids have sort of have their relationship with money set by age 7.
Oh, I know. That means you and I have only got a few months to sort Axel and Luna out.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. And I mean,
God.
Yes, it's not ideal. We need to get to work.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, and thank you for sending in your amazing questions. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please follow our podcast.
Yes, and tell your friends, tell your colleagues, more people who listen. Yeah, but if you have got any subjects you'd like us to cover in these Friday Q&As, then please do drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.